Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, I'm Georgie Courage-Cole, and welcome to this week's In Conversation With podcast. Please take into consideration that we are recording this podcast remotely, so if the sound isn't quite up to scratch, then please forgive us.
Today, I'm joined by Georgia Toffolo, TV personality, influencer, author. I mean, so many strings to your bow. Hello, Toff. How lovely to be chatting to you this morning.
Georgie, I've been looking forward to it all week. You are my social calendar. You are literally it. It's God, it's so exciting.
Oh, well, I'm thrilled to hear that. How are you?
Yeah, I'm actually okay. I don't think I've found a routine. I'm not really getting in the swing of it. But, you know, we're happy, healthy. Everything's all right.
How are you coping? What are your days looking like?
Well, the thing is, so my routine went out the window about 2-3 weeks before this whole lockdown thing. So I went and got a puppy.
This wasn't a corona puppy. This was planned.
Yeah, this was happening anyway. But I didn't know when I was going to get my puppy. And I just thought, you know what? There is no time like now. And everything was just a bit uncertain. I never anticipated that I would be locked in the house with him 24/7 for the past couple of months. I obviously put so many pictures of Monty up on Instagram, and I got him from this breeder, but he's not Kennel Club, just because I made the decision that King Charles Cavaliers can be really closely bred. Anyway, so I got him from this random breeder.
So for people listening, Kennel Club basically means it's an approved breeder, right?
Yes, exactly. So I have been putting all these pictures up of Monty, everyone's loving him, and this lady messaged me, and she was like, are you sure your dog is a King Charles Cavalier? And I was like, well, yeah, I think so. And she sent me pictures of her dog. I actually think that Monty isn't a King Charles Cavalier. I think he's got a bit of that in him, but I think he's more Spaniel, like Cocker Spaniel. So I think Monty's life has been a bit of a lie for the past 2 months. So I'm going to investigate further. But the poor dog, I don't know what he is, but I love him so much. It doesn't matter.
I don't think he looks very Cocker, though.
It's weird. I just can't figure it out. I don't know. Even the vet's like, I'm not quite sure, but I think we'll know when he's a tiny bit older.
Anyway, he's freaking cute, whatever he is.
Yeah.
Oh, what a dream. And can I just ask, have you got a cage for him? Sorry, a crate.
So he arrived and he was crate trained. Monty would just automatically, when he was tired, go and sit in the crate. So I've made him this big pen and I put the crate in it so he does sleep in there. But when I've had to take him to the vets, he really doesn't kick up. I do think that there is something to be said about this crate training. I think it's good for them.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. I have a 13-year-old dog, mouse that people still think is a puppy. She's half Maltese, half Lhasa Apso. So we didn't have a crate. And when we got her, we lived in this tiny, tiny, tiny one-bedroom flat. And the kitchen was, I'm not kidding, it was a cupboard. And we used to shut her in there and she basically tunneled through the door. Like at night, she would just tunnel and yelp. Yeah. And I tried to be strong. I was quite brutal with my children. They're all good sleepers. With mouse, we got to about 12 weeks and we were like, enough is enough. So she actually now sleeps on our bed.
Oh, God, I can't believe it, Georgie. I mean, I'm close.
I'm nails with these things, but like, fuck, I got it so wrong with the dog. My mum has her to stay in. She's like, oh, darling, I just wish she didn't sleep on the bed.
But yeah, once they're in, they're in.
She's not in. She's on.
Yeah.
I think there's a key difference there. People have their dogs under the blankets. I'm not okay with that. Sorry, I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, you're loving having a pup.
Yeah, he's just perfect. The best thing I did was getting him, but bloody hell, it's hard.
It is hard. And it's a real tie. And I mean, I love my dog to bits, but, and I got my dog a couple of years before I had children. I think that was my husband's like cunning ruse to put me off having children for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But it's a real tie. Like, I would say to people listening, like, you need to have somebody around the corner locally who you can rely on if you're going away or whatever.
I'm already dreading it. We can't even travel at the moment. I think because we spend quite a lot of time out in Montenegro. I told you last time I was on the podcast, but there's this Montenegrin Airlines is the flight that I get. And thank God the dog is allowed to travel next to you. It's like a real rarity. Yeah, it's really bizarre. They don't have to be, you know, the dogs that help you. It can just be your dog. So hopefully when everything's back up and running, I won't have to leave him too much. But he's got to get bloody used to it. You know, this is not normal. Me being with him day after day.
You're going to be one of those, carries him around to all your meetings. Anyway, he's very sweet. So you've got your pup for company. And what are you doing to pass the time? You've got a very lovely house, I have to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm really happy here. I do like it. Yeah, just a bit of a problem. I got an email yesterday about the dog and they were like, this is not part of your lease. So might have to move out of my lovely house. But anyway, Monty's worth
it. What? Have you trained him?
Yeah, he's really well trained. He's, you know, I wouldn't ever allow anything to happen to the house. But I just think at the moment with everything that's going on, is it really top of their priorities list to have a go at like a 25-year-old who's got a puppy?
And if he's not pissing all over the carpet, then
no,
I mean,
of course not.
Get over it.
Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, anyway, what do I do to pass the time? Shit, loads of telly. God, loads. I'm a bit more of a television person than movies.
Tell me. Obsession. What are you watching?
Okay, you know I'm a bit of a weirdo. Like, I'm really into my current affairs and my politics. I don't really watch anything that's that current. So I've been binging The Thick of It. It's a political comedy about British government. But just because I love everything to do with that, I find it absolutely hilarious. It's just disaster after disaster PR-wise. It's brilliant. I love it.
So it's fictional. And is it all?
Yeah, it's kind of old. Yeah, it's not brand new. I think it was BBC.
Where do you watch something that's old? UK TV, isn't that the channel?
Okay. I think actually it's on Netflix. I think I watch it on Netflix. But yeah, I absolutely love that. What else? I started Downton Abbey again from the beginning. Loved it. And then I watched a movie the night before last, which I actually found a bit disappointing. Have you seen it?
Yeah. No. Do you know, I'm a bit over period dramas.
Oh, I'm not. I love it. Julian Fellowes is my main man.
I really like Julian Fellowes. And I just got a bit with Downton Abbey. I feel like I've done period dramas and there's so many better, more racy, exciting things on Netflix personally. So
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm not that.
Did you like the film?
No, I think because I've been binging so much, I just wasn't that blown away by it. I was so bloody excited to watch it. But still, you know, nice to see them again.
Is it all the people that are in the series in the film?
Yeah, mostly. Yes, I would say 90% of them, which is great. And the storyline's lovely. The King and Queen of England come to stay at Downton and it's all largely dark.
And Maggie Smith's in it, right?
In it. And at the end, well, there's a really, really sad scene. I actually did cry. It was the one scene that I really connected with. And she was saying, Maggie Smith actually says that she's not very well. So I don't know whether Julian Fellowes is trying to tie things up. She probably will come back. But she's the number one character, really.
She is. I mean, everything. I mean,
you watched that really random film where she lives as a bag lady in a car?
Lady in the Van.
So good. Yes.
Lady in the Van. I saw it at the theatre about 15 years ago. And it's an Alan Bennett.
She thought it was brilliant.
I went to see it. And it was one of those things in the theatre where, you know, and you're laughing and you're so aware how much you're laughing. And then you start to get jaw ache. I mean, it was the best thing I ever saw in the theatre. And she is just...
Really? Is it still on, Georgie?
No, this is a long time ago. Anyway, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's brilliant. So, Downton Abbey. Downton Abbey, the movie.
I'm also obsessed with... Do you know that old TV chef? He's actually died now. He's called Keith Floyd. Do you know him?
Yes.
So he's like really eccentric, proper personality. They don't make them like that anymore. Like, you know, the TV chefs that we have at the moment, I just don't think they've got an ounce of his charisma or character. And he just does... I watch them on YouTube, but they're quite long. So you can do an hour of watching him. And it'll be like Keith Floyd on Hangovers. And he'll just be standing there with the biggest glass of red wine, talking about what to eat on a hangover. And I just love, love, love anything like that. Oh. I've been watching...
Tell me, what tea? So I just done dry... Saturday night was my last drink until Thursday night.
I was going to say, mine was exactly the same. I did so well all week. I'm not a big drinker at home. And I've just thought, you know what? I'm going to have to loosen up a bit. And it still feels a bit awkward for me opening a bottle of... I was drinking rosé last night. And I actually had a really good time. I had a little groove around the kitchen. yeah, I think we've got to do it at the moment. But I'm a real, you know, the one thing that I'm looking forward to is sitting. I love going to Motkins on Motkins Street, just sitting outside with a glass of champagne. It's just my thing.
Heaven. I have, like, lots of people been getting into the habit of sort of every night, covered in tonics, wine at supper. And I was like, what are we in? Week six, seven? I've lost count of lockdown. And I was like, God, I have been drinking too much. So what are your tips?
Oh, what with Keith Floyd? It's always like, oh, have Welsh rabbit for breakfast and then have the biggest lunch ever and make sure you wash it all down. He starts on the Bloody Marys and he progresses through the wines throughout the day. And the brilliant thing about it and why I love it so much is that there is no way it will be allowed to be broadcast now, because he is hammered, sloshed. He cannot speak by the end of the day. And he's ordering around his cameraman. And it's just brilliant. So Keith Floyd, yeah, he just basically says, drink and eat your way through it, which what I'm very good at.
And what about listening? Are you into podcasts?
Yeah, into the radio? Time, obviously, Sherlock is my fave. It really is. You know it is. It's been my fave for years and years. Sweet. I love Radio 4. I listen to Radio 4 all day, like an old woman.
No, Honestly, love it.
I mean, it's the best. I'm beside myself. Jacob Rees-Mogg hasn't released a podcast since the end of March. He's got one called The Moggcast. But another good one, it was really informative. It was like a big, deep investigation called The Assassination. And it was about, do you know Benazir Bhutto?
That's brilliant.
Brilliant. And I loved it when they were interviewing people that were actually accused of murdering her. Like, that is, you know, proper journalism.
It's staggering how they just killed her. She knew she was going to be killed and she was killed.
And she was.
Anyway, if you're listening and you haven't listened, it's a BBC series called The Assassination. It's not massively long. It's not like hours and hours and hours, is it, Toph? It's like sort of 20 minutes, half an
really
hour.
Really digestible, yeah.
Anyway,
loved
it's
it.
Really
Love
shocking.
Like that.
And also, what a, like, she just devoted her life. She left her children. It's
amazing. From such a prominent political family, it'd be really interesting to see whether any of her children go into politics. It's very cyclical like that in Pakistan, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So she was born into this sort of Pakistani dynasty, wasn't she? Mm-hmm. And felt like she had a duty to serve her country, and knowing that it would lead to her death. I mean, it's
so good.
So good. What are you reading?
Oh, God. So I've got my own little book club and I run it on Instagram every month. So last month we did Such a Fun Age by Keely Reid, which was really, really good. I absolutely loved it. And today I'm announcing our new one, and it's called Pretending by an author called Holly Bourne. She normally writes stuff for young adults. I'm really, really excited to read it. So, yeah, so that's a big one. And
how does that work? So you've got, I mean, a gazillion followers. So you sort of say, right, this is the book we're going to read this month. And then in a month, we're going to come back and talk about it and everyone comments. Yeah. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then halfway through the month, I'll do, you know, a little IGTV saying, oh, this is what I'm loving. What do you think about these characters? And I just think it's a really lovely thing because there are so many people over the country that might want to have a little push to read more or really want to go to a book club, but they can't. They don't have the time. The location's a bit of a problem. So it's just, I've created a lovely little community on my Instagram, but it's quite different and separate to what I normally do, but it's my favorite thing that I do. And the messages I get from people, you know, saying I haven't read in years and you gave me this suggestion and I've absolutely loved it. Aww. I just think it's really quite sweet. So, and I did a lovely giveaway last month because some people say to me, oh, you know, I'm struggling for money at the moment. So I got the publishers to send out 30 books to people and I'm doing it again next week. So yeah, I try to choose all female authors, but yeah, so it's a really lovely little thing. So that my book club is going up today because it's the first of the month.
That sounds brilliant.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What about exercise? I think people listening who follow you will want to know, are you exercising? Are you cooking? What does your sort of days look like in that regard?
So, cooking-wise, I'm really bad, but I try really hard. So I made a really epic chicken pie this week. I made sushi last week, which was a bit too ricey. For me, not enough fish.
Oh, did you,
anyway,
you rolled it?
I rolled it, yeah. But I think I got the measurements wrong of the rice and the fish because it was just so stodgy. But I was very proud of myself. I'm ordering Papa John's like no tomorrow. I don't know why I've become obsessed with Papa John's.
It's delicious.
Do you think? Yes. Yeah, I used to be a bit more of a Domino's girl. But yeah, so that's kind of my cooking food.
Cooking is Papa John's and a bit of stodgy sushi.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then exercise, my God, I'm really bad. I've done two workouts since we did lockdown. I found this. I'm so bad, Georgie.
Don't overdo it.
No, I just never do. I mean, I walk Monty, but even that's not that successful. But
are you naturally slim? I mean, you must be. You must have good metabolism.
Yeah, I am quite lucky. I mean, I can feel it just a bit recently, but I don't know. I'm just naturally not. I love it when I do the exercise. It's just getting me up and doing it. This way, I found this YouTube video and it's an hour long. These are the two exercises that I did. I did the same video twice. And it's, do you remember the Call on Me video where they're all in leotards and like thrusting their pelvises in the air?
Yes.
Anyway, there is an hour-long DVD workout and it was released in like 2004. I stumbled across it on YouTube. It's so classic and I actually really enjoyed it.
An hour though, that's long.
Yeah, but it's like big warm-up, big warm-down. So the intense bit was like 20
minutes. It's kind of Jane Fonda and a leotard. I mean, you don't sweat much, do you?
No, exactly. But yeah, so I'm not very good with that. Georgie, you're so good with your exercise.
Well, I'm a bit of an exercise obsessive. I kind of always have been. It's my thing. I'm a better person when I've done some exercise. And how are you treating yourself? Are you doing nice things? Are you having it? Well, you said Papa John's is your go-to, but like, are there little treats that you're allowing yourselves? Like, it's pretty gloomy right now, isn't it?
It
like,
really
there's got to be
is.
Some treats, hasn't there, to sort of get you through?
Yeah, I really agree with you. I think the big one for me has just been a change of mindset, because for the first like couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I was spending a lot of time looking on Instagram, seeing how productive people were being. And I was being so nasty to myself inside of my head, like, why are you not being so productive? I've actually just laid off a little bit. And I'm like, it's okay to lounge around and not do anything until midday. You know, you don't have to be this like the best version of yourself, because what's going on is just so bizarre. That change of tact has been a big one for me. I have really upped my
also you're
skincare.
Never gonna have this moment ever again,
ever.
So just let, I don't know, take the pressure off. I think
I really agree with you. The big one that I'm doing is my skincare, just because I think maybe subconsciously I've been really stressed and my acne has flared up so much. And I'm now taking half an hour in the morning and 20 minutes before I go to bed to really do a strict regime. And even if it's not helping yet, I just hope it will.
Can we talk about your skin? Because last time I saw you, I thought your skin was looking amazing.
No.
And I know you've been quite vocal about the fact that you suffered from acne. But honestly, last time I saw you, there was not a blemish on your face. Your skin looked incredible. Why do you think it's flared up now? And what are you doing in that routine? I think people will be really interested to hear. when it happens, what are you doing?
So this is the really annoying thing for me, because of course I've had a year of good skin, which for me is a really long period. And of course, now that it's really bad again, I keep on comparing it to how good it's been. So when my skin flares up, I have to drink so much water, but I'm really naughty with my food. So I have to try and, in my head, balance out water, food, drink loads. I do see a difference. I would love to get to the bottom of why. I was lying in bed last night and I rolled over onto my pillow and my whole face was so sore with the contact of the pillow. And I just thought, oh God, we're back to this again. But I think, you know, I am an ambassador for Dermalogica. And for me, you know, they are the only products that really work. And I think perhaps over the past, you know, beginning of lockdown, I was stressed. I was running around. I wasn't really looking after my face as much. So I think being regimented, drinking water, having skincare that works for you, I think is really, really important. But I'm really missing my, because I have a skin therapist at Duke of York Square, Dermalogica, and I go every 6 weeks. It's my one like beauty thing that I do for myself. And I obviously can't see her, and I wonder whether it's that. Maybe everything's a bit clogged up.
But can we actually talk about Dermalogica? I mean, you know, I know you said you're an ambassador. Yeah. I actually think it is the most brilliant brand. Oh, and so I'm not just saying that. You haven't said, by the way, I need to come and talk about Dermalogica. But it is a really amazing brand, isn't it? And it, I remember sort of 15 years ago, everyone was mad about Dermalogica and you could only get it on salons and blah, blah, blah. But it is, it's so good, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I've used Dermalogica for 10 years now. And I just saw a correlation between when I went back to Dermalogica that my skin would just get better. It doesn't mean that my spots completely go. Like, I've had a flare-up now. But I know that with my face, they do work. And I've just tried so many things that just, you know, can be too abrasive or... And I just love the support that you have, like going to see my skin therapist. It really makes a difference for me. I swear by them. And I can just see that because I haven't been as good as I normally am, that my skin's got bad again. And I also love that even though, you know, I am an ambassador for them, they really celebrate me, even though my skin can be really terrible at times. And I really love that about them as a company. So they don't want me to be this poster girl with perfect skin because that's just not real. They want me to say, oh, do you know what, guys? I've had a flare up. I'm going to try something different. Or, you know, using Dermalogica alongside other products, I think, I'm really completely obsessed with them.
I love the How I Built This Guy Raz podcast.
Yes.
And Jane Werwin, who is the founder of Dermalogica, is interviewed in the How I Built This podcast. So anyway, if you're at all interested in Dermalogica, I would really recommend that people are listening to it. In terms of self-care, are there any other things that you're making sure that you do on a regular basis?
So most mornings I get up. Yeah, love having a long bath. And then I am gone back to my heated rollers. You know, like the $39.99 Babyliss ones. So I pop them in and I look like I've had a bit, I look a bit Stepford Wife, but I really, really love it. And it makes me, even though I'm not feeling that great at the moment, I bounce around because my hair looks good. So that's a big one. So I go to Errol Douglas and have my hair done. And they have sent out a root breaker. Have you ever heard of them?
No.
So I actually didn't realise. So every 6 weeks I go in there just to not have colour done. They do something to brighten my root. Anyway, they are now packaging them up and they've sent one home to me. But I'm just so nervous about using it. But it's got to be done because they are savage. So sorry,
I mean, what is this thing?
It's come in like this package. I keep on looking at it. It looks really, really intense. So gloves, brushes, mixing things, but it's all pre-mixed. So you put it in, you know, like the colorist does, and you mix it up.
Yeah.
And I assume you just paint it on your roots and it just lifts them without me going full on color with my hair.
Is it permanent?
I think it's quite interesting. Yeah, I think so. But I don't think it's got any dye in it. I think it just lifts the root. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, excited to get going with that.
I'm almost getting, I don't know about you, a bit anxious about getting the haircut appointment. When are they going to start taking bookings?
I just don't know.
I mean, and you know, it could be September at this rate.
Yeah, at what point do we start hacking away at our own hair? I just think...
God, I've done my children, I've done my husband, haven't done myself.
Did your husband allow you to do it?
With a lot of fuss. At one point, I slammed the scissors down. I went, well, that's it. You're on your own. I'm not doing it anymore. And I was like, and you're not... I haven't done the other side, but tough shit. Anyway, he then got a grip and let me finish off the other side. I actually did a bloody good job.
How funny.
I think men, he's a sort of, you got a feather with men.
Oh, feather. Have you been watching the YouTube videos?
No.
You just know that.
I'm quite into that sort of stuff. And so you're doing your root thing. Anything else you're doing from home on a sort of self-care grooming DIY front?
No, not really. God, I don't know what I'm doing all day. I hope other people are feeling similar to me. I reckon I just wander around aimlessly for a few hours a day. I just find it so monotonous and so dull. And why am I not getting out there? Do you know, doing all the arts and crafts and the baking and all of that?
God, there was a mum that I was emailing yesterday and I said, I can't quite believe how many weeks we've been at this now. She said, I bought myself a painting set. I mean, she said, what the fuck? I mean, when did I actually think I'd have time for the painting set? I think we've all had these grand plans.
Of, yes.
You know, polishing our silver. But actually, you know, we're going to come out the other side and go, fuck, I meant to do that, but I never did. Anyway, what are the things that you are missing the most? Obviously, your family. But other than that, because, you know, we are all longing to see our families. But what are you missing? Just like daily life things. Are there things and you're like, God, I didn't think I'd miss that. And I am.
The big one for me, and this is going to sound terrible, I just miss having a mooch around Zara. I know that is so bad.
No.
I just love having a little mooch. And I don't live that far away from Duke of York Square, Zara. So I had a little wander around and I walked past and it was just so sad. But I just think it's those tiny little things that I'm really... Yeah, I'm really missing. And, you know, just I love getting in my car and going for a little drive and going on an adventure. I just think it's the smaller things, you know. I must say, I actually feel more connected with my family for once. I mean, obviously it's virtual, but normally I'm running around like I had this chicken and my mummy calls me or my granny calls me and I'm like, oh, I'm too busy, I'll call you tomorrow, da 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 da. Whereas now I'm like gagging for a chat all day.
Yeah, I second that, actually, that's true.
So it's worked in a really weird way. And my friends and I are doing really, really fun stuff. Like my friend Archie does a quiz every Sunday. And, you know, the silly little things I thought I would loathe. I thought, oh God, I would never be that person, are really bringing me little bits of joy.
You're loving a quiz.
Loving a quiz, but I'm a proper know-all. Like, I think I know everything and I always come last. So I love a quiz. The other big one, I really want to take my dog to a really fun big park and just let him run because he's never done that because doggies aren't allowed off the lead at the moment, apparently.
No, they're not. They're not. Well, they're supposed to not be allowed off the lead.
To.
I do get me cross the dogs off the lead. Tell me, before lockdown, you launched a collaboration with Shein. How has that gone? How did that come about?
Yeah, so basically I found Shein about a year ago and I said to my mum, I was like, Mum, you've got to go on this website. Everything's bloody cheap, but it actually looks quite nice. And I got in contact with the brand and I was like, I really, really love your bits. Like, you can buy a really beautiful dress on there for $15.99. It is so cheap. And I'm a real high street girl. I love mixing it with a lovely handbag. But because my wardrobe just evolves so quickly, I do love a bit of, you know, a few things that are quite affordable. So I got in contact with them and I've really wanted to do a collection for so long because I think my style is like, I'm not that trendy and I like wearing quite classic, but girly, fun stuff. And I never found anyone, you know, like the Misguided and the Boohoos. I could probably buy like one thing on there, but there wasn't anything that really showed my identity. Anyway, they were really up for doing a collaboration and the first collection was so different from what they normally do. I was really surprised that they allowed me to do it. I mean, some of the dresses, you know, you could just wear to Ascot with a really pretty hat.
So you've designed a collection with them. Is that what's happened?
Yeah. So both of us together, obviously I've never designed clothes before. So a lot of it was me doing Pinterest boards and then the designer being like, oh, this is really fashionable this season. And I'm always like, oh God, okay, I'm not sure whether that'll suit me. Let's take a bit of that and put it with what I love. And it just went so well and it sold really well. I was so thrilled because I was a bit worried that their audience might not like the type of things that I love. But I've got my second collection coming out. So it's meant to be in May, but we pushed it back to August because obviously I would really love to shoot it properly. Yeah. So fingers crossed we'd be able to do
that. Amazing. That's fabulous. Doing another one. It's obviously gone really well.
Yeah. And I really, really loved it. So I'm really excited. We're just finalising everything now.
Amazing. Good for you. I'm thrilled it's going well. Let's talk about beauty. What is your beauty routine at home? I mean, what's your beauty routine on a regular day?
So regular day, just because my acne scarring is quite bad, I do wear quite a lot of makeup most days. So I start off, have you ever heard of this Clarins thing? It's like a paste that you push into scarring.
No, but I don't know the Clarins one, but I know Trini does something similar.
Yes, I really need to try Trini's one.
It's her Miracle Blur, I think that's what it's called.
I really need to get my mitts on that. But yeah, so I always start off with that just because it makes me feel so much more confident if they're a tiny bit blurred. And then beauty-wise, yeah, it's more my heated rollers because when I cut my hair, it was really, really terrible. I just cut it off in a nightclub at 3 a.m. and had like a mega meltdown. Yeah. I was like, right, the hair's going. Now, no time like the present. Get the scissors. We're doing it. And I didn't know how to handle short hair because it had gone from being so long to so short. So, yeah, my hair bits, rollers and tongs.
But what about a foundation? Is there a foundation that you swear by or is this the Clarins one?
Yeah. What's it called? It's a Laura Mercier one at the moment. And I've gone for a really rosy tone. I've just found that it's covering up my acne a lot better. It's the ones that used to be in the pots. Do you remember those? And now they put them in the tubes.
Any other beauty products that you swear by?
Yeah, so I always have really, really dry lips. So it's super cheap. It's like $3.99. It's called Eucerin Aquaphor. They look quite medical, and I use it on my eyebrows, my lips, my elbows, everything. It's like a little cheapy version of the 8-hour cream. And it's so good. It's the only thing that moisturizes my lips. Absolutely love it.
Fab. Yeah. If there were three products in your makeup bag that you were like, these are my ride or die, what would they be?
I think it would be the Benefit Hoola Bronzer.
Yes, good one.
Yeah, I think it would be the Glossier Cheek Paint. And yes, it comes out and it's like paint. Super strong and it's really scary, but you need the
tiniest paint. Yeah,
bit.
It's so good, so good.
Yeah, it's so good. And then I think it would have to be my Charlotte Tilbury Mascara. I think it would have to, because I'd actually look all right with those. Yeah. Okay. I think it would have to be those three.
Right, we have got to talk about your book. You've written a book. Can I say, for people that don't know, you know, you got a serious brain on you. And I think probably a lot of people see you on Gogglebox, The Hunted. Are you and Stanley in frequent contact?
Yeah, speaking to him loads. He's down his farm on Exmoor having a really lovely time. Yeah, he's good. We do the FaceTime, as he calls it.
The FaceTime. You're proper buddies, aren't you? You talked about him before, but you're like, you're proper pals.
Yeah, I wonder whether everyone thinks it is just for show. Like, we're genuinely mates. I speak to him every other day.
Really?
I've never had, I just don't see age as anything. All of my friends are quite a lot older than me. But God, yeah, 55 years is quite a lot older than me. But we just have the same sense of humour and we just have fun together. I just adore him.
That's amazing. Yeah. Love it. So you've been a busy lady, but you're not just a TV star is what I'm getting at here. You are a bright, bright, bright girl. You want to be a lawyer, is that right?
Yeah, that was right. And then I got a bit distracted with television, but yes.
Yeah, you got a bit distracted with Min Chelsea and Being in the Jungle. But anyway, you have written a book.
I have.
That's totally brilliant. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Will you tell us all about it? It is called Meet Me in London. What is it? It's fiction.
It's the first time I've ever written fiction. So it was a big one for me to venture in. I have adored every second. I basically have wanted to do this for the past 6-7 years. And obviously, I love doing my television, but for me, reading, writing is just my bread and butter. It's what I love. It's what I hope I'm good at. But fiction is bloody different to what I'm normally used to, because I had a column in the Sunday Times Style and I was writing, you know, really satirical diary, and I can do all of that. But fiction is so different. So I had this idea. I wanted it to just be a really lovely, kind of wholesome read, nothing too turbulent, something that you would just completely divulge into when you're on holiday and relaxing. So the storyline is, it's called Meet Me in London. It's about four girls and their friends. There's a big accident and it's about the rest of their lives. So Meet Me in London is the first book. I've got three more. So probably another reason why I'm a bit grateful for the time to carry on writing, and I'm publishing it with Mills and Boon. So it's just kind of fun and different. So it's a series. However, I really wanted to make sure that if you dip in at any point, it doesn't matter if you haven't read the previous one. So right. I think you would enjoy it more if you read them in order.
This is chick lit, essentially.
Definitely. And I'm so proud of it. Yeah.
Oh, well, you should be. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's one thing, writing some autobiographies is how I made it. But it's another, like, writing a story. What's the feedback been like?
So it's only available for pre-order at the moment. But my publishers are really excited.
Sorry, it's coming out in October, isn't it?
It's coming out in October, yeah. So it's all about the pre-ordering at the moment. And I've just finalised yesterday the cover, which is lovely. Yeah, they're thrilled. And I basically was at this book launch and I stormed up to this lady who was standing there and I knew that she was head of HarperCollins. And I just basically laid my heart on my sleeve and I was like, please give me a chance. And she said, you know, we will give you a chance, after me hammering her for about a month. And they came back and they said they really liked it. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
God, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm really interested to know, when you write a book, do you sit down and just hammer it, or do you do a couple of hours every day? Like, what's the process?
So it was really different. I think for other people just writing a book, you would just sit down and do it for months and months and months. I've never written fiction before, so they paired me up with a really amazing lady called Louisa George, and she basically helped me get everything out of my head onto paper. And I'm quite, the way that my brain works, I'm not very good with writing things, you know, like typing them. So I have so many sheets of paper full of these crazy ideas and just ways to structure my sentences. So without Louisa George, this book just wouldn't have happened, because I wouldn't have been able to do it. However, moving forward, I think I've really found my confidence now. It's just a really interesting way of writing fiction that I think you have to get used to. But the support that I've had was just amazing.
God, how exciting. How exciting. Yeah. Can't wait to read it. I'm sure it's fab. And tell us, what other plans have you got? God, I imagine there are plans that you've had that aren't happening now, but career-wise, what's in the pipeline?
Yeah, so the big one, I really love my horse racing. I know I've spoken to you about it before.
Yes.
I really love it, and I just think it's such a lovely sport, you know, for everyone to try and enjoy. So I'm hoping that I will do a lot more stuff in racing. It's just a really difficult time because, obviously, you know, the BHA, yeah, British Horse Association, are just debating whether they can do it behind closed doors. But it,
God, fingers crossed, all these things. Well, they're saying that football's going to be behind closed doors from June, aren't they?
Yes.
Wimbledon, I think, is not even going to happen. The thought of July evenings without Wimbledon in the background is just, I'm just going to really miss it. But racing, yes. Gosh.
I know. It's another one of those little things. And I do think everything's on hold, but I just hope that, I think this year for me is just about this book. I think, you know, it's very rare that I have this much time to dedicate to one thing, and I've still got the other ones to keep on writing and getting through. So yeah, the big ones for me this year, it's quite nice just to concentrate on a couple of things.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, particularly when I left the jungle, I ran around and I was doing like a billion things at once, and I wonder whether you actually can't do that.
And Gogglebox, what does the future look like for Gogglebox?
Well, I'm not sure. I do think Stan, my lovely sidekick, and I do need to have a little adventure show at some point. You know, we're quite good at sofa watching the telly. However, when we are rocking around the country or, you know, going on holiday, we do have such a laugh. So I think it would be a good TV format to explore. But yeah, it could be something exciting will come along. It always does, you know.
Yeah, well, we will be watching with interest. Top, thank you so much.
I loved
it.
What
a fun to chat to you.
Thank you for having me, Georgie.
Thank you for joining us. Look after yourself and send me a copy of your book. I would love to read it. It sounds right up my street. Thank you. That's it for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Look after yourselves. Stay well, and we will be back soon. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.